As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, would you hear these words from Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Would you pray with me? Father God, we've come to this place together to bless your holy name. We have come to remind one another of how incredible is your goodness to us. We've come to remember, O God, that you are a God of grace who is eager to forgive us, that you're a great healer who is eager to make us strong. You're a provider and you're a God of peace, eager to comfort us and to care for us. And we have come, O God, because you are worthy. You are worthy of every song that we sing. You are worthy of every minute that we spend in your presence. You are worthy of our hearts. You are worthy of our lives. And so we have come to lift up your name and to open our lives up to you once again, letting you know that you, O God, can come and be with us. You can come and have your way with us, for we are your children and we trust you and we love you. Would you move in our hearts as we worship in this place? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to be in verse 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Would you pray with me? Now, living God, as we turn to your word, we invite your spirit to move freely among us and within us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in fifth grade, my mom got remarried. All of a sudden in our home that had been me, my mom, my sister, there was now a stepdad and an 18-year-old stepbrother. Two teenagers and a preteen, our house most days was pure chaos. But every single night for those first years, we came together around the dinner table. And there around the table, this awkward, chaotic little system became a family. After my junior year of college, I was going to head to Jordan in the Middle East to work with Palestinian refugees for the summer. And leading up to that trip, I was having nightmares almost every night about being in the Middle East and being attacked and these scary people that I was sure I was going to find there. I showed up in Jordan. My first day there in that place, this American Christian Caucasian girl who was blessed enough financially to be able to spend a summer overseas, was instantly met by a poor, displaced Palestinian Muslim family. They brought me into their home, had me sit on the floor around their table. And they said that two people that the news would say should never be in the same room, there at the table, we became friends. A lot of our kids are back in school now, and several of our youth have started new schools this year, whether it be starting high school for the first time or changing schools. And my first question has often been, what did they do when lunch came around? Did they find someone to sit with? Because I remember, here I am, 41 years old, and I can still remember like it was yesterday, that feeling in high school every time the semester would change. And you had to wait in that period before lunch, not knowing who was going to be in the cafeteria when you got there, who were going to be your people. And that anxious feeling walking into the room, looking around, scanning all the tables, trying to find my people. The table in the school cafeteria is this symbol of belonging and who belongs to whom. For this month of September, as we gather on Sundays, we're going to be talking each week about what I like to call thin veil moments. What's a thin veil moment? It's those times in life when that veil, that imaginary veil that separates heaven and earth, at least for an instant, for a moment, seems so very, very small. Those times in life, and maybe you can only count them on one hand, but those times in life where it just felt like the fullness of God's presence was right there in your midst. You were caught up in the holy, in the extraordinary. You knew that God was with you. Those are these thin veil moments. We're going to be asking throughout this month, how do we get more and more of those? Because I don't know about you, but I want more and more of those. There's one place that God has promised to meet us again and again. More than one place, but one for today. And that is the table. The table with family, the table with friends. Most importantly, this, the communion table with our Jesus. This meal that we're going to share together in a bit. For some of us in this room has just over time become just another ritual of worship. It's just that thing that we do the first Sundays that tends to make that Sunday go a little bit too long. Gets us a little anxious. Is the game about to start? We've got time. We're on the West Coast. It's good. When I was in Texas, those noon games, oh, you felt it. You felt the anxiety in the room. For some of us, it's just some bread, just some juice. Sometimes we come and in a moment we truly do get a sense of God's presence right there with us. But most of the time when we come to this table, it's just a normal Sunday. Get in, get out, get on with our lives. As we prepare to come to the table today, my prayer is that it becomes for each of us a thin veil moment, like it was created to be. My prayer is that this very day, each and every one of us might encounter the real presence of Christ as we come and eat with him. Because that is the invitation, and that is a real possibility. There are a number of themes that are woven throughout the pages of Scripture. Because Scripture is one big, long story, kind of a messy story, can be a convoluted story at times. And so to be able to connect the dots of this story, if you read carefully, you will begin to find certain images or certain themes that just keep coming up and move the story along. One of those themes, one of those images is the table. Starts in the Garden of Eden. The people literally at a table with their God, eating in God's presence day in and day out. The very first command in all the Scripture story, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, God looks at his people and says, eat freely. And the very last word that God speaks in the whole Scripture story, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, God looks at his people and says, drink freely. And everything between these two commands is essentially a table, a God making a way to eat with his children again. I could take you on a long journey following the table, through the Old Testament narratives, through the Psalms, through the prophets. I could tell you this morning about the covenants that were made at the table and broken at the table, about the Jewish festivals that all seem to center around the table. I could take you to the prophet Isaiah and show you this table that he talks about in chapter 25, that's this messianic banquet, and the host serves up death on the table, and then the host eats it. It's a really cool story. The table is all throughout Scripture. And then when Jesus arrives, a huge portion of his ministry happens where? At the table. One of the biggest complaints of the religious folks was that this rabbi just kept eating really good food with really bad people. They didn't like that. At the table, that's where he teaches that the first shall be last. It's at the table that he says the Messiah has not come for the well, but for the sick. At the table, the thieves and the prostitutes realize they have a place with him, and the preachers and the teachers do too. I'm glad for that part too. At the table, it's where Jesus teaches about washing feet. At the table, Jesus teaches about a God who provides so abundantly that there are leftovers. Besides the cross, Jesus shows us more about who he is and what he's about at the table than maybe anywhere else. And then there's this table. It sits at the climax of the Gospels. It's the turning point of the entire story of Scripture. It's this table that connects the Passover of Exodus to that promise, that vision in Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus is standing at the door knocking and says, if anyone opens it up, I will come and I will eat with him. This table right here, this table shows us so much about who Jesus is. And it's not just an object lesson, but it's an experience. This table says, if you come and eat, and if you have eyes to see, you will be eating in the presence of your Jesus. This table, a thin veil moment. And that we might not miss it this day. This is no ordinary table. And so get ready. Because here in just a bit, you're going to come and you're going to eat with the living God. And I hope that's not old news to you, that that can really happen. And it will happen in this place. So let's consider together for a moment what's at this table. What do we see? What does it mean? The night of his arrest, it's Passover. It's the night that the people of Israel remember that real night in history when God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus knows that he is about to deliver all people from everything that holds us captive. And so he chooses this for his final meal. It's no coincidence. You've got Jesus, his 12 disciples, all together. And Jesus picks up the bread and he gives thanks. The night of his arrest, he's still giving thanks. How beautiful is that? And he breaks it. That is a good moment. It's like he breaks it. And a touchdown for somebody, right? And he says, this is my body broken for you. Eat this and remember me. And then he takes the cup of wine and he says, this is a new covenant. This is a new promise from God for you. This is my blood making all things new. Drink this and remember me. When you eat this bread and when you drink this cup, you are proclaiming that the Lord has come and has died for us until he comes again. And from that night on, disciples of Jesus have come to a table set with bread and wine or Welch's to remember our Lord. Disciples of Jesus have come together to this table for 2,000 years to tell of his story and tell of his love so we don't dare forget it. A thin veil moment is possible every single time the table is set. Let's keep looking at this table. What does it tell us about who Jesus is? What does it tell us about what it means to be his people? One message is loud and clear. This is Jesus's table. He gets to decide who's welcome to come and who's not. In the room that night, there were 12 friends who were all about to abandon Jesus, every last one of them. One of them had already plotted to betray him. And still, Jesus hands a piece of the bread to him, says, "This is my body broken for you, for you. You're invited to eat with me. You're invited to be with me." And for those who have been reading the gospel up to this story, this is no surprise because this isn't the first meal that these disciples have eaten with Jesus. They were there when the lady from the streets crashed in on the dinner party and began to wash his feet with her hair, and they saw how he didn't send her away. Some of them were there that night that Matthew invited all of his tax collector friends to come and have dinner with Jesus. Jesus hung out with them too. They were there when Jesus fed the 5,000 on that mountaintop, not leaving any one of them hungry. And you know as well as I do, in a room this size, much less a crowd of 5,000, there was someone in that space with every story, with every sin, with every lifestyle under the sun. And yet they all came and ate until they were full. Because when Jesus sets the table, he has this crazy tendency to say, "Whoever is hungry, come and eat. Whoever's in need of grace, come and get it. There's enough for you." This is Jesus's table. He gets to say who gets to come. And every story I've read about him, and every living experience I've had with him, there's never anyone that he says, "No, but not you. You cannot come." This table is for everyone. Whatever you've been told about why you're not worthy of life with God, or why you're not good enough, or why you're a disappointment, my friends, hear me. That story does not come from Jesus or from his table. You can lay that down today, and you can come, and you can eat with your Lord. Jesus makes room for everyone at his table. He feeds everyone who's hungry. He receives everyone who knows they're in need of some grace. A few years back, Guy and I got to walk the Camino de Santiago, the pilgrimage through northern Spain. It's a wonderful spiritual experience, walking with Jesus every day. I tell you, the hardest part of those 40 days in Spain was you would come to these small villages at the end of a long day, walking with Jesus, talking about Jesus all day long, and you would walk into a church ready to commune with other pilgrims. And I tell you, I love my Catholic brothers and sisters. There's so much from the Catholic Church that I value and that I appreciate, but there was one thing that I just can't get around, and that is this idea that the table is only open to some. And so Guy and I, two hungry, sincere pilgrims seeking Jesus together, would come to church. And when it came to the climax of the service, time to come to the table. "Oh, but you can't come. You can't come." And I knew in my heart of hearts, that is not the heart of our Jesus. At Belfair Community Church, the table will always be open to anyone whose heart wants to come and eat with Jesus. We do not determine who's worthy or who's not, because Jesus has already said, "If anyone wants to eat with me, I will gladly come and eat with them." In fact, he says, I'll bring the bread and the wine. You just show up. It's Jesus's table, my friends. So don't you for a second think that you don't belong here. Who are you to tell Jesus who gets to be at his table? He says you belong. Don't argue with him on that one. And don't for a second let any of us make anyone else feel they don't belong here, because it's Jesus's table. And anytime we want to be with him, he's got a seat ready to be with us too. Another thing about this table. It's not just the Jamie and Jesus table. This Passover meal was being shared that night between Jesus and 12 men who could not be more diverse, besides they were all men. Receiving the same bread, drinking from the same cup, was a zealot. That is a Jewish radical who is set on taking down the Romans. And next to him at that table was a tax collector. That is someone whose entire livelihood is based on cooperating with the Romans. There were strong personalities at that table, probably the likes of Peter as we know him. And there were more of the wallflower types, like the Bartholomews, who we don't know at all. There were those around the table who wanted Jesus to use military force to bring about his kingdom. And there were those around the table who really had no idea what they wanted Jesus to do. They just didn't want to miss it. There were those, you know, who had personalities in that room that really grated on the others. And you know, there were some grudges being held. 3 years traveling together, you know, someone at that table had some hurt feelings. You know that someone along the way had said something dumb and hadn't yet made amends. You know, around that table, there were economic differences and political differences, all kinds of differences. But at that table, Jesus is saying, if you're going to eat what I share with you, you're gonna do so as family. Because it's at the tables where we gather with our kin and share the intimate parts of our lives together. And though here in this room, we've got just these little tables, every single person who will come and eat from these tables in this room is your family. There's no room for grudges. There's no harping on things that divide us. We come to the table as one, as diverse as we may be, because this we share. We are loved by our Jesus, and we are doing our best to love him too. And that's enough to make us family. And besides just the tables in this room, today in churches across the globe, someone has come to the table of Jesus who could not be more different from you, I guarantee it. Someone in our nation and our world has come to this table today who has voted different from you in every single election of your life. Someone has come to this table whose lifestyle you do not understand at all. Someone has come to this table whose theology is so messed up as far as you can tell. And the good news is, we don't have to understand someone to eat at Jesus's table with them. That's the good news. We can just lay all that down, because this is the most diverse table the world has ever known. And that's what makes it a miracle that we can come and eat with our Jesus and our many, many neighbors in a divided world. We can be a part of the miracle. And we are every time we come to the table as family. Let's keep looking at this table. There's more. Isn't this fun? Have you done this in a while? Jesus picks up the bread and the wine. These are the most ordinary things on the table. These are both staples that would be at any table, Passover or not. Jesus didn't choose things like pumpkin spice that only come around once a year. No, he chose things that people would see every single day in their homes, in their neighbors' homes, in rich homes, in poor homes, in Jewish homes, in Gentile homes. Bread and wine at every table, in every place. Jesus is saying, those with eyes to see and with hearts that want to see, you are invited to stop and to embrace the holy in your midst any day, anywhere. Because where you are, Jesus is saying, there I will be with you. You can come every single day for the rest of your lives and eat with me. I don't know about you, but sometimes it can feel like I go weeks, months between those thin veil moments. Most days, just kind of working the to-do list, grabbing dinner on the go, working 9 hours, then TV, then bed, then repeat. We come to church hungry because we haven't really heard from God, felt God's presence all that much that week, and our souls are parched. They're thirsty. My friends, it need not be like this. With the bread and the wine, Jesus was intentionally choosing the most common elements, saying, anytime you stumble upon these things, think of me and let's eat together. Every day, Jesus is saying, I'm here, I'm here. And if you want to, you can slow down just a little bit and you can come and be with me. I'm right here. The bread, think about the bread. It comes from grain that some farmer somewhere in the world has spent months preparing. The wine comes from grapes that some person somewhere in the world has carefully tended to. And neither one of these people had any idea that the work of their hands would end up on the Lord's table. The one that passed overnight or the one right here today. Something that was just the product of their everyday labor, somewhere along the way, became holy, became part of this thin veil moment that connected the people with their God. And these farmers hadn't a clue. What's the invitation in that? Consider this. At the table, my friends in this room who do any work for the purpose of human flourishing, that's the work of growing or sowing, teaching, creating beauty, building community, meeting needs, advocating, caring for the earth, any of this work that you do that's for life to be better for someone in some way, that is sacred work. Not just those of us who have some specific calling to ministry are doing sacred work. No, no. We are all participants in bringing heaven to earth together. Those farmers, they never know which of their products will become crumbs being eaten by pigeons in New York City and which will end up on a table somewhere. And someone will receive it and hear spoken to them, this is the body of Christ, broken for you. You never know with the good work that you're doing what will usher someone into the presence of God. You can't know. Just keep growing. Keep sowing, keep teaching, keep mending wounds, keep creating, keep singing, keep scrubbing, keep embracing. One day we will all see all of it was holy. All of us, priest. Finally, at this table, the bread is broken and the cup is poured out. Everything about it tells us again of a God who would rather die than be without us. Have you ever had someone love you like that? Every head in this room can shake yes, because you do. You do. At this table, we remember that we come to Christ, not whole, not in our Sunday best, not with all of our stuff together, but we come to Christ as broken people, desperately in need of a God who knows exactly what to do with broken things, how to turn them into the gift of grace and life. that cup poured out, echoes of a God who knew already on that very first Passover that the way things were going, that one day he would be the lamb on the table. From the beginning of the story, this table tells us of a God who was willing and ready to give us all of himself if that's what it took for us to be fully with him. And that's what it took. At the table, we eat the bread and we drink the cup. And as we do so, we take into us the life of Christ. We are saying to God, the one who has done everything to be with us, we are saying to God, I am letting you dwell in me. I am all in on this relationship too. At the table, at least for that moment, our hearts and the heart of God are aligned. A thin veil moment, indeed. Anyone come to church today, hungry and ready to meet with Jesus? Yeah. Anyone come to church today thirsty for more of God's presence? Anyone come to church today desperate to hear the truth again that there is grace enough for you? Anyone come to this church today lonely, longing to be part of a family? Anyone come tired, needing some strength for just the living of these days? Did anyone come with a heart that is longing to participate in the greatest love story ever told? Did anyone come with eyes ready to see the holy among us? Did anyone come needing to hear again that your work matters? Did anyone come just hoping to hang out with Jesus for a while before your busy week takes over again? Come to the table. And as you come, when it's your turn, there's no need to rush. Come and eat, come and drink, and then feel free to stay at the altar as long as you need. I dare you not to move until the veil that separates heaven and earth is so very thin for you. Don't move until at this table with our Jesus, you are changed by an encounter with the living God once again. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, we come to your table. You know what each of our hearts needs. And we know in your love and your grace, you eagerly give it to us. Whether it's forgiveness or some courage or some strength or some belonging, some healing, some peace, you know, in some miraculous way, all of that happens at this table with you, our Lord. And so as I come, as my brothers and sisters come, would you remove the veil that separates heaven from earth? And would you let us encounter you here in this place in a way that changes us once again? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.